Good afternoon, Honorable Kenny. How are you?
Comrade Chair, afternoon.
Oh, Deputy Minister, how are you?
I'm fine, leadership. How are you, Chair?
Very, very well. I'm told that the minister won't be around. You are in charge of everything. Is that correct?
Yes, leadership.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I'm happy to see you.
Happy to leadership, but I'm still in a car. You'll not see my face.
Okay. No, don't worry.
Okay, leadership. Thanks for
the team that will do the presentation.
Thanks for the good piece.
Oh, yes.
You can still write.
Really? How did you see that?
Yeah, I did see it, my leadership.
Yeah, no, I was just giving a historical context of our own challenges and how we can navigate them, solve them, and be okay.
No, thanks, my leadership.
No, thanks. Thank you.
We'll talk afterwards.
Okay, no problem, no problem. Colleagues, members of parliament, let me just check quickly the quorum so that we start with our meeting. We have myself, Honorable Fesser, Honorable Tetwa, Honorable Michalakis, Honorable Sileku, Motamai, Butler, Vandamela. I think we must start. Let's start with our meeting. Let me take this opportunity then to welcome everybody to this meeting. A special word of welcome to the Deputy Minister, Honorable David Mashobo, and his team from the Department of Water and Sanitation. Equally welcome all members of Parliament of this committee present here this afternoon. Let me also take the opportunity to welcome everybody from different entities who are part of this important meeting. As you are aware, Parliament is in the process of considering the annual performance plans of different departments, as well as their budget for the financial year 2021 and 2022. This period, as we all know, is one of the busiest in Parliament because it is quite important that at the end of the day, we need to see to it that these budgets are approved, that the departments are able to implement their annual performance plans, which are in line with the midterm strategic framework. It is quite important to do so because the challenges that are facing us, particularly in this sector of water and sanitation, are very, very big. And we as members of parliament, we need to keep an eye to what this department is doing so that at the end of the day, it must indeed impact positively in terms of changing the lives of our people, in terms of providing water to the people, in terms of ensuring that whatever challenges that are there, they are fulfilled by the department. And in our view and in our collective view, The department can only do that when we as parliament hold the department accountable, when we play our oversight function very, very much optimally, when we ask them pertinent questions, and when, importantly, understand exactly what is it that they are doing and whether what they are doing is achievable, it is time-bound, it is realistic, and all of that. With those words, as I indicated, you are all welcome. I received the following apologies. One apology from the minister herself, Honorable Lindiwe Sisulu, who's not going to be part of this meeting because of other pressing commitments of the department. I also have an apology from Honorable Shaikh. As we are all aware, we have just entered an important period of Ramadan, in which we must respect the religious beliefs of other people. And in that sense, she's not going to be part of the meeting. She indicated to me that as and when it is convenient for her, she'll try her level best to ensure that she's part of this meeting as well. With that, as I indicated, welcome. I do not have any other apology. What we are then going to do is to receive a report, a plan, an annual performance plan of the department. Like I indicated, what they are going to share with us, they are objectives, they are plans for 2021 and 2022. The department is going to also share with us their intentions in terms of their budget, how the budget is structured in terms of different votes and programs that are there in the department. I may hasten to say that with regard to human settlement component of the department, human settlement component, we are going to engage with it on Monday. On Tuesday. But for the purpose of our meeting today, we are just going to focus on matters pertaining to water and sanitation. As the department is preparing to fly the slide, I'm going to invite the Honorable Deputy Minister, Mr. Mafabo, to just have some opening remarks and share with us some broader strategic issues pertaining to the department before we invite the Acting Director General, Mayor Deborah Motoki, who is going to take us through, I guess, she's the one who's going to take us through the plan. But be that as it may, over to you, Deputy Minister, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you very much, Your Excellencies, Chair, and Honorable Members, and Bongakulba Jotovo and your team. And with us here, we have the team that is led by the Acting DG, Ms. Deborah Motsoaledi. She's supported by DDGs. And we are also very pleased that the leadership of SALCA is here. I can see that William Muraka is also here because this is the year that we are concluding the term of local government before the next elections. Well, the presentation, Chair, is in two parts. We are having a revised strategic plan in the light of COVID-19, including the economic situation, that will deal with all the performance indicators aligned to the medium-term strategic objectives and state of the nation address. But then we'll also give the financial information to say what are the resources that we have to be able to support this work. I will ask my team that they should spend more time, especially when it comes to supporting local government, especially the monies that we're putting aside, whether it's traditional bulk infrastructure grant, whether it's water services infrastructure grant, whether it is direct or indirect grant, and just spend more time there. And also that you'll be able to observe, Chair, that firstly, when you look at this strategic plan and the APP, there's been some kind of a reorganization in terms of the budget structure of the department. The budget structure has been revised into three programs. There's a support program, which is administration, but water resources is clearly delineated, and the water services management very clearly delineated. This is what you're going to see there, but it doesn't affect the structure to say how many branches that are there. But it's very important that because of the two legislation, our attitude is that the two legislation, they have arrived at a point for renewal after 27 years of democracy. And those two legislation have been in place for more than 20 years, all of them. And we should be able to do that particular revision. We will spend more time to say that if you look at the bulk document you have of the strategic plan and the APP, you will see the projects for each province. What are we contributing in each province? In as much as we're not the only department that contributes to support municipalities around infrastructure, you'll have your COCTA supporting them with through the municipal infrastructure grant. We also have your human segment that has the bulk infrastructure component, whether for metros, which is the USDG, whether just for rural provinces where there are no metros, which is your human segment development grant. Therefore, Chair, I will hand over quickly to Debra if she's there. If she's not there, then one of the DDGs, either Lindiwe Lusenga or Thabi Singh, should introduce and then allow Babalwa Manyaganyaga, she's our chief director responsible for planning, to take us through the presentation briefly. Then the CFO and Ntate Moatse will then come in and say, how are we putting the resources, Chair? With your permission, can I hand over to the department to do the presentation? And we've been working very closely with the COCTA and also with SALGA in some of our work in terms of planning and implementation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Over to you, the acting DG or any other departmental official designated for this purpose.
Good afternoon, Chair. Yes, and honorable, good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, honorable member. Yes, we do have a presentation. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. We just want to see your face so that they see you. Yeah, just light your face so that they see you. I can hear you and I can, I know your voice. I can easily recognize the voice.
I've just switched on the video, Chair. I don't know whether you can see my face.
I don't know. I don't see you. I don't, you don't know about that? Other members, but you can proceed.
I think it is because the presentation is already on the screen.
Okay.
But thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members, for the opportunity to present our APP to yourself. We will be asking Ms. Manyaganyaga to do the non-financial and Ms. Moatse to do the financial part. I just need to clarify a little bit on what the DM has already indicated, that the budget structure looks a bit different from the organizational structure, in that the budget structure has clustered all water services funding together and clustered all water resources funding together, and then you will have another what looks like another branch there as administration. The difference between what you are having here on the budget as a budget structure and what we used to have before is that in the previous structure we clustered according to the functions that we do. So we had planning for water resources, water services and sanitation and information together with that. There is information for water resources, information for water services, and what information for sanitation. That is why the branch was called Water Planning and Information Management. Then we had another branch that was called National Infrastructure Development, which also did development of all infrastructure in the department. That is your bank, the Umzimbubu, the St. William, the WHOOP and all, plus RBIC, which are water services project. So they were all put together. Even the sanitation was there. The bucket eradication was under that branch. And we then had a branch called regulation. Regulation has both water services and water resources under it. So then we had, I've already mentioned the administration one. So when you look at this one, where it's going to look like we only have three branches, that is not the case. It is just the budget structure that is structured in that fashion. When we report performance to yourselves at a later stage of the quarter, we will be indicating the various branches that contribute to water resources management and to water services management and how they are performing. So that is what we are going to do. And because we are presenting to local governments here, we are going to request the presenter to focus largely on the projects that we are doing on local government, what we are also doing in assisting municipalities. We wish to, every time when we engage, indicate and remind honorable members that we actually are not responsible for water services. We get into that space to assist because most of the municipalities would be ailing, and because we understand the constitutional mandate of water as a basic right. And therefore, most of the time, we get into that space to assist and to intervene. And that has an impact on the work that we do or the actual mandate of the department. But it is because we understand that we are one government and therefore we need to be able to get into that space whenever called upon to do so. So I will request then the presenter to present. We have also requested that our provincial heads be present in this meeting, because if members are going to be asking for specific issues of things that are happening on the ground, we rely on our provincial heads to provide those details. But when questions are asked, Honorable Chair, we will then assign those questions accordingly. Thank you very much. Over to you, Ms. Manyakanyaka.
Thanks, Acting DG. Good afternoon, honorable members. Thank you very much for affording us the opportunity to present. Good afternoon also to the Deputy Minister and colleagues attending the session. The slide that is actually reflected here is what the ACDG was talking about. I just need to augment a little bit and indicate that the rationale behind the change was to align with the revised medium-term strategic framework, and which requires that we do outcome-based planning, which is associated with outcome-based budgeting. So therefore, we have had to revise our strategic plan and annual performance plan to align with the budget structure. If you were to go to the next slide for the honorable members, this is just to give them a description of what the program entails and what the associated sub-programs are performing. So I'm not, for the benefit of time, I'm not going to go through them. This is just the same principle for the next three slides. But the most important slide that maybe you need to start talking to, you can go to the next one. Another one, and slide 8 is the same thing that talks to the water services descriptions, and then we go to the revisions in the strategic plan, which is from slide 9. The next slide just indicates that the impact statement that was in the previous table strategic plan has not changed. If you go to the next slide, which is slide 11, this is where it talks to the slide amendments that we have done to the department strategic plan. The change is a disaggregation of the targeted procurement supporting a small, medium enterprises. In this strategic plan, we have had to include the targets for women, youth, and people with disabilities. And that slide reflects the percentage is 40, 30, and 7, respectively. If you go to the next slide, which is slide 12, the next slide, there is a slight change in the previous strategic plan in that we have had to include a baseline of the main stem rivers that are being implemented, which we did not have in the previous strategic plan. The baseline relates to 4 that we currently have. Also, we have had to amend a previous outcome indicator that was mainly focusing on mine water management strategy to incorporate wastewater management development and plan. And therefore, the sub outcome indicators that we have included is the development of the 9 catchment strategies, the implementation of the strategies, and also the piloting of the waste discharge charge system in the 9 water management areas. If you go to the next slide, this slide, it's mainly the same as we had presented before. However, the slight change is the fact that we have a program in the department that talks to the digitization of integrated water and sanitation monitoring system. We have had to include that because it is part of the expected medium-term strategic plan deliverable and also the minister's performance agreement. If you go to the next slide, which is slide 14, here, it is an indication of our support, mainly to the water and sanitation and soil municipalities through the use of MUSA, our monitoring on the health and sustainability of the water services authorities. This is one such activity, and also the regulation that we conduct for the green drop, blue drop, and water use applications that will be reduced, and also water users from the various sectors that will be monitored. This is mainly just the same as what we presented in the previous financial year. If you go to slide 15, this one relates to the effectiveness of institutions. It is mainly the same as what we presented, except to indicate to the honorable members that in the previous strategic plan, we're still talking to a 9 catchment management established, but the revision now indicates that there is a consolidation of some areas of catchment management agencies, and therefore the target has now been reduced from 9, a total of 9, to a total of 6. And therefore, the plan is also to develop regional water utilities by the end of the 5-year and also establish regional water user association. And the validation and verification of existing lawful water use in 5 water management areas is still the same as what we presented. Then we are going to go to the amendments in the annual performance plan, which is starting from slide 16, particularly on slide 17. Under administration, in this, this is what we do on the efficiencies that we need to monitor in the department. So our compliance with governance, corporate governance, regulatory prescripts, this is mainly the same as what we presented in the previous financial year. just to indicate to the honorable members that there is a slight change in what we had planned for training interventions in the department. The previous strategic plan was talking to senior management and services, but this one is a broader activity that covers all employees of the department. If you go to slide 18, it is similar to what I had mentioned in the strategic plan, but this is just a disaggregation of the support. This is talking to the qualifying small enterprises and exempted micro enterprises. So the disaggregation for women, youth, and people with disabilities is also reflected here. And the same information that was there in the previous financial year on the implementation of the recovery plan, expenditure of budget, and the reduction of the database has not changed. If you go to slide 19. This talks to the ecological infrastructure protection and restoration. In this one, we are talking to the river water resource classes that will be determined, the monitoring for the resource-directed measures that you plan to implement over the medium term, and also river eco-status monitoring program that will be implemented across the water management areas in the department. If you go to slide 20, this talks to the catchment management strategies, which I have reflected. The slide indicates the targeted areas over the medium term in terms of the development of the catchment strategies, the implementation thereof, and also which ways piloting areas we're prioritizing over the medium term for the waste discharge charge system. Slide 21 talks to the master plan updating and also an indication of the reconciliation strategies that we plan to complete over the medium term, as well as the operating rules and specialist strategies for the water supply system in 8 water supply systems, and the assessment of climate change and risk vulnerability over the medium term. Slide 22 talks to the water resource monitoring programs that we have in the department, and also the inclusion of the digitization program that I've mentioned in the strategic plan, and shows the deliverables over the medium term, and as well as to indicate that we will be starting with the construction of new gauging stations for the first 2 years of the financial year, and the names of such gauging stations are included. On slide 23, we are talking to the bulk raw water projects that are going to be in preparation phase for implementation. And these projects are listed. I will just indicate the acronym there, the Olifants River Water Resource Development Project, Phase 2D and Phase 2E. The Namidwa, those will be under ready for implementation. And then the Siki Siki and Koni Dam. This is the new dam that we did not have in the previous strategic plan, which is the Koni Dam, which we are planning to have it in preparation phase for implementation. Similarly, for bulk raw water projects under construction, they're mainly the same as what was submitted in the previous year. And this is just to indicate that in terms of bulk raw water projects, we plan to complete them on the outer 2 years of the medium term. Under slide 24, you see that this talks to the maintenance plan in terms of the existing infrastructure that we have. We plan to have a gradual improvement of the maintenance plan to implement the projects therein, and to make sure that we don't have unscheduled maintenance plan maintenance that is exceeding 30% evaluation of dam safety projects, And also we plan to complete 2 dam safety rehabilitation projects and conveyance systems that we plan to rehabilitate. And also adhere to our water supply agreement based on our bulk water use. On slide 25, it talks to the regulatory requirements that we have had to do. You will recall that in the previous strategic plan and annual performance plan, we're talking to the development of a single water and sanitation bill. But in this strategic plan and annual performance plan, we are reflecting that we plan to do amendments on the existing Water Act and not necessarily the single bill that we're talking to. The remaining indicators have been there, except to indicate that we have got an inclusion of raw water charges that we plan to develop over the medium term. And also based on the revisions of the regulated periods of the water authorization, which is now 90 days, we are planning to do 80% of what we receive, and also monitoring of water users for compliance and investigating reported non-compliance cases. On slide 26, it talks to the development of the water research levy and the green drop assessment in the existing wastewater system that will be monitored, and also wastewater systems that will also be monitored against their regulatory requirements. The last thing in that is that we plan to do a draft regulation that relates to our water allocation reform. On slide 27, it talks to the institutional arrangements. As I previously mentioned in the strategic plan, the catchment management agencies we plan to have gazetted for establishment over the medium term, the establishment of the water infrastructure agency, the transformation of existing irrigation boards to water user association, and also the establishment of the economic regulator. Then if you go to slide 28, this is the water services management issue. Talk to the water conservation and water demand strategies that we plan to have, the assessment of water supply systems. And this, as the DM and the acting DG had indicated, is the first part where we start with the support to local government or water services authorities. This is our planning activities that relate to the feasibility studies and the implementation readiness studies that we plan to have to support the development or the construction of water and wastewater services projects. So we plan to have those plans in 5 or 5 projects, and also 1 inception report for the implementation readiness study. But the next slide will then indicate the number, the consolidated number of regional bulk infrastructure projects that we plan to have under construction and those that we plan to have completed, and also another support that we provide to the water services authorities. We provide funding, as the CFO will indicate, on the water services infrastructure projects that we plan to have under construction, those we have planned to have under completion, and also we have 1 intervention project that we are implementing coming from the previous financial year. The next slide, slide 30, indicates a disaggregation of these numbers that I have previously spoken to. And the previous slide, the province, you recall that in the previous slide, I talked to 130 13 projects under the RBIC, and the breakdown of those projects under construction are indicated in that slide per province, and those that are planned for completion. Similarly, the water services infrastructure projects reflected there is 173, the breakdown for those that will be under construction and those that are planned for completion over the financial, just this one financial year. And also the intervention project I mentioned is in Gauteng, which is the VASO. Then slide 31. If you go to slide 31 is also another support we provide in terms of assisting district municipalities with developing the 5-year sanitation reliability plan, and also in another activity that we do in support of the water services authorities and assess their health through the MUSA, and then publish the National Municipal Self-Assessment Report. And also from those that did not fare well within the MUSA, we assist them in the development of what we call a municipality priority plan, priority action plan, to make sure that they fare well when the MUSA is, another MUSA is being assessed. And then in terms of the regulatory prescripts, this talks to the amendment of the Water Services Act, the existing one, and also another activity relating to the sanitation activities. It talks to the integrated plan, National Sanitation Integrated Plan, the fecal sludge management, and also bulk water tariffs that we plan for development for the subsequent financial year. And then under slide 32, which is the last one, in terms of performance information, it indicates there that we don't plan to do the full blue drop regulatory assessment, but rather a performance assessment tool for the year, but a plan is for the full blue drop to be done in the second medium term year. And also, this is just to indicate that the number of water supply systems that we plan to monitor against the regulatory requirements is 362. And therefore, the last part talks to the performance of the existing water board shareholder complex, the business plans, as well as the process to ensure the gazetting or the establishment of regional water utilities. Those are the targeted water boards that we are going to do draft due diligence for over the medium term. Thank you very much, Chairperson. The subsequent slides relate to the financial plan.
Thank you, Chairperson and members, Deputy Minister, DG and colleagues. I'll be taking the committee through the overview of the medium-term budget of the department. We can move over to slide number 34. Chairperson, in brief, the department has been allocated a total amount of 16.9 billion in the 21-22 financial year, with the outer year as reflected on the screen for the three programs of the department, administration, water resource management, and water services management. The budget is also classified down to economic classification, with compensation of employees for the 21-22 financial year being 1.8 billion, also reflecting a reduction over the MTEF. The reduction, Chairperson, is in line with the government's fiscal policy stance and also the revised spending ceilings for compensation of employees' budget as received from National Treasury. The other three categories of the budget, goods and services, transfers and subsidies, payments for capital assets, are reflecting a marginal increase over the MTF period. Also, to talk to the earlier request that we should clarify the allocations that are made available for the local government sphere, I can confirm that included in the transfers and subsidies, which constitute 54% of the budget, the transfers and subsidies, included therein are transfers to municipalities to the value of 5.7 billion in the 21-22 financial year, and also transfers to the water boards for the project under regional bulk infrastructure grant. Some of the funds, Chairperson, which I will also talk to as we move to the subsequent slides, are included under the economic classification payments for capital assets. Those are projects for water services infrastructure grant as well as regional bulk infrastructure grant, which the department implements on behalf of the municipalities. I'll talk to that as we move to the subsequent slide. Program one is the administration program of the department with the sub-programs as highlighted them, including office accommodation. These are the standard program one sub-programs of government. Office accommodation has to do with leases of property, which the department is doing through the Department of Public Works. Those are the allocations, and we also have a Chairperson multi-year lease agreements with the various entities through the Department of Public Works, as I've indicated. Those are included in the accommodation budget, office accommodation budget, including municipal charges as well. Those are budgeted under that item. We can move over to slide number 36. Water resource management has been allocated 3.5 billion in the 21-22 financial year, with 3.5, 3.6 billion respectively in the outer year. The budget, Chairperson, is for the planning of the water resource as well as the infrastructure development of the department, the mega project. They are all included in this program two of the department. We can move over to slide number 37, water services management. This, Chairperson, is the program that is responsible for the grants that I've mentioned, also for the planning at the local management level. The grants are there also included. Also included therein is the water resource institutional oversight that is linked to water services management. The total amount for 21-22 financial year is 11.4 billion, and the economic classification also is reflected therein. I will talk to the breakdown of this sub-program under grants with the subsequent slides. Slide number 38, we can move to 39. This is where Chairperson has been asked to focus on for the 21-22 financial year. The regional bulk infrastructure grant has been allocated total budget of 5.4 billion. And of that, 2.1 relates to direct grants. Those are conditional grants transfers directly to the municipalities, where they account also for the appointment of the contractors who are implementing those projects. And the indirect grant, it's where the department is intervening in most cases. For example, in housing, there was a mention earlier on by my colleague, I think it was also DG, about the interventions around the Mfuleni area. So that budget for the intervention is reflected, for example, under housing. And the details of those projects are also available. They are attached to the plan. And I'm sure we should be able to talk to those as we move to the next discussions. So this is the regional bulk infrastructure grant. The next slide, slide number 14. These are the projects chapters that are being implemented through our water boards in the various provinces, including Northern Cape, KZN, KwaZulu-Natal, as well as Northwest through Emahalis Water Board. And the project descriptions, they are also included in the detail sheet of the project to the plan that we have submitted. Slide number 41. These are the water services infrastructure grants, 4.3 billion in total, and 3.6 billion chairperson has been allocated to conditional grants to local governments. These are the transfers that have been made directly to the various municipalities in line with the drawings and the schedules as approved by National Treasury. And also under this grant, there is a total amount of 729 million, which the department is responsible for in together with the municipalities to implement the various projects. The details, as I said, as we would be engaging, we'll be able to talk to the specifics around the projects as DGS indicated. That is the overview, chairperson, of the grants as well as the budget of the department, and also to confirm that the budget of the department has been aligned also with the financial recovery plan and the turnaround strategy of the department, which was presented to this committee, and the department continues to implement the strategy and the recovery plan. Thank you.
Okay,
Comrade Chair, we are done.
Well, you are done in terms of the presentation?
Yes, leadership.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you very much for engaging or briefing us in terms of what is it that the department is doing in terms of its plans. Because as you are aware, all of you, water is quite important. It's an important resource, and it's quite important that we ensure that we provide this service to our people, especially in the rural areas where the need is acute. With that in mind, can I invite engagement, contributions from members of parliament? You are free to can make comments on the basis of this. You are also free to make some suggestions in terms of what is it that we need to do. Where you do not understand one or two issues, you are also free to can ask questions in that respect. Let me see who wants to come in. I see Honorable Sileku. Who else? Honorable Karen Fesser. That is the only two hands that we have. Okay, fine. Let's start with Honorable Sileku. Over to you, sir.
Well, Chair, thank you very much. My apologies for my camera. Chair, let me appreciate the presentation. And what is also still disappointing, Chair, in this department, we are still having an acting director general. Can the department just explain or try to give us more information as to when are they actually going to fill all these strategic positions within this particular department? Because if we don't find any stability on the management side, it's very difficult for the department to go forward. And that has been one of the issues that have been raised by the AG, that this particular department has very critical position that has not been filled. And now it's our second year that we are engaging on the APP and the budget of the department, and we still find that even the department still does not have a director general. Just need more clarity on that one. Another issue, Chair, that we flagged when we first engaged with this particular department was the issue of the use of consultants. And we were thinking that the use of consultants will be phased out in this particular department, but in terms of our budgeting, that we still find that the budget that is being used by the department when it comes to consultant, business and advisory services, it increases every year. Can the department just you know, share with the committee what plans they have in place to make sure that these big amounts of the usage of consultant is being phased out going forward. And also, Chair, in terms of the travel and subsistence, we also see that in terms of that vote, that there's an increase, you know, even during this COVID process, you know, where people are not even allowed to travel that much, but we see there's even a bigger increase. Can the department just elaborate on those increases so that, you know, we as the committee can have an understanding as to what is happening? Chair, also what is important is that, Chair, during this time of drought where, you know, we are struggling with water, we still see municipalities not being able to manage their water losses. You know, we try to, you know, to give water on one side, and then on the other side, these municipalities are losing, you know, water on a daily basis. What, you know, comprehensive or effective plans is the department engaging on and trying to support these municipalities to make sure that their water losses are not sky high, they are manageable going forward? And also, Chair, in terms of policies that the department had to review, can the department just, you know, share with us which policies are currently in the process of being reviewed or acts, so that we can know where it is and what is still outstanding? Thank you very much, Chair. I think that's where I'm going to leave it.
Nyabule. Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Sindeku, Honorable Professor.
Thank you,
and
Chair.
And will be followed by Ubaba Enoch Mthethwa.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, in terms of the catchment areas and the pollution that's going on in rivers right through South Africa and is allowed by municipalities, can the department tell us in what way are they enforcing consequences on the vast neglect of wastewater treatment work plants that is some of them newly erected, only working for a year or a year and a half, and then it breaks down and it stands there and it spills over into the environment and just nothing happens. There's nobody of the, if you phone the department, then they say it's the responsibility of the municipality, of the district. If you phone the district, they say it's the local. So they're passing the buck all the time, and in the meanwhile, all our natural resources are being contaminated with raw sewer. Also, in terms of the water boards, the involvement in the water boards, because we see a lot of money in their budget, but on ground level, there are so many municipalities without water, so many villages in rural areas that have to dig big deep holes in dry riverbeds to use seepage water to make a living from that, that has for the past 10 years not having any fresh water except seepage water. So if we see in the budget allowances for that, I want to see on the ground that there's an improvement for the provision of bulk water to communities that I fail to see. I also want to ask the department, what has happened on War on Leakages, the project that was run around about 2017-18. What has happened to that? Because in all areas, you can see that bulk water is not maintained. The pipelines are not maintained, and it's running freely into the fields and along roads of and into rivers and streams in South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Baba Mthethwa.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine, even though the other colleagues have just asked it in a different way, but for me is to get to what is the strategy of the department, Chair, in terms of this maintenance of the old plant, and also we still receive a number of complaints, especially in the the functional billing, that people are still billed a higher amount when we see this water are running on the bushes sometimes or on the or along the road, but the community is being charged a lot of money. So I'm just asking the department, what strategy do they have to ensure that this billing, if they collect effective revenue to, and people are being billed according to what they've used. And three is the issue of the maintenance of their plant as well. What strategy do they have from now going forward? And I was also concerned about the traveling that the other colleagues have touched on it, because we thought that a number of departments have saved a lot of money for members not to going up and down, the staff going up and down with flights and other means of transport. Why are they still seen that they are keep on increasing budget in terms of that area? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Madam Tetla. Any other contribution from members? In the absence of no contribution, let me also make a bite. Firstly, let me join the colleagues to welcome the presentation of the department in terms of its annual performance plan as well as the budget. This is quite good, and when I was studying the document, I realized that this is in line with the medium-term strategic framework of the department, as well as what the president has said in the State of the Nation address. But having said that, I want to make some reflections which are a cause of concern to me. Within our country, there are people still, communities, especially in the rural areas and in the townships, who still do not have access to water. And you know better as to what is the situation when communities do not have access to water. For me, it is really unjustifiable that 27 years after the advent of our new democratic dispensation, we still have people without water. I know that our government has done a lot in terms of providing water services to our communities. In 1994, we were in the 40% of people who have access to direct water, and at the moment it's well over 90%. But that 10% also want water. And if we say water is life and sanitation is dignity, and we want to uphold that slogan and that belief, we must develop clear-cut plans, and those plans must be encapsulated in our annual performance plan. We spell out in precision what is it that we are going to do or our intentions to ensure that we ameliorate this situation in which people will have access to water. I come from the Northwest Province, as most of you are aware. There are certain specific areas where water is a crisis. In Freiburg, the Dr. Ruth Sokomuti Mumpati, there is a big problem, and the department, together with the district municipality and the CDM Water Board, they embarked on a process to build a pipeline as well as the necessary waste water treatment plant in that particular area to support and help the people who need water in that area. It is not completed, and it has been years that this has not been completed. I urge the department to go and attend to this particular matter as a matter of urgency. In Madibeng, it is still the situation, a project that got started in 2011, 10 years down the line, that project is not yet complete, and I find it unacceptable that situation is obtained, Deputy Minister. And I suggest, I ask that it must be one of the issues that you pay attention to, that you go and attend to as a matter of extreme urgency. I have also engaged on the matters of J.D. Martin Prof, where I spoke already with the department through the acting director general to say that there is a need to ensure that there is a replacement of the pipelines. I'm just trying to demonstrate that there are challenges and we need to see these challenges sufficiently covered in the annual performance plan of the department so that they are given the necessary attention. And there could be other instances where there is this particular problem that needs to be attended to. The department, in my view, is doing quite well in terms of stabilizing the water board. What the department is doing is quite welcome to ensure that a fair, transparent, and democratic process is unfolded to ensure that we have the people with the necessary skills and capacities in our boards so that good governance and financial accountability is secured in those particular boards. And I really want to commend the department in that respect. My only comment is that this process must be expedited. These positions must be filled as a matter of urgency, so that there must be stability in our boards, in our water boards, especially those particular boards that are not doing quite well. It's quite important that we give them that attention so that these particular problems are eliminated. Lastly, we over the years, especially with regard to the last few years up until the new team led by the minister and the deputy minister, the current minister and deputy minister came in, there's been what I call chaos in the department in terms of accountability, especially financial accountability, as well as the allegations about wrongdoing. And in this APP, it is quite important that this must be explained by the department in terms of what is it that the department is doing or has done to ensure that these particular problems are addressed. You know that there were problems in terms of the contingency liabilities of the department, the department undertaking projects which were not budgeted for, which is, in my view, unacceptable. There were problems of accruals. I can see that we tried to close the gap in terms of the accrual, but those were some of the problems which were afflicting the department. And in my view, these particular problems must be attended to. But what we are going to do as a committee, we are going to follow up all of these issues. We are going to ensure that we hold the department accountable. We exercise our oversight function quite well so that these issues must be attended to. It is in the best interest of the department, like the point that Honorable Sinek raised about the filling up of senior management positions, including the Director General of the department. And this has not been properly explained, and I would like it to be properly explained in terms of what is it that the department is doing to attend to these particular issues of filling up the top senior positions. And last year, I want the department to briefly take us on board in respect of the appointment of the Caribbean engineers. This is a matter that has received national attention, and then it needs to be explained, and I'm sure it is quite proper that the department must take us into confidence to brief us in terms of what is happening. If you like, you can just brief us a bit, but this is a matter that we would like, when the department has got time, you must in full detail take us on board, tell us the rationale in terms of securing the Caribbean engineers to come and work in South Africa. What does it mean in terms of the capacity that we have, or the capacity that we build, or the capacity that we need to build over time to ensure that the department, the water sector, has got the necessary capacity with people who can do the job, and when there is a crisis and when there are problems, they are able to intervene accordingly and attend to those particular issues that are affecting us. I thought perhaps Perhaps I must also make this particular comment as the chair of the committee and expect you to respond to all of these issues. And you might not respond to all of them now, but we're raising them because we want to take and follow up all of these questions that that I put and that other members of parliament have asked the department. Over to you, Deputy Minister, and the team. You will guide us in terms of how you want to.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Let's just thank the members of the Select Committee for the kind of question they've asked us. And we will also request that we will give the acting DG. But before we give the acting DG, just to indicate to honorable members that it has taken time when it came to the question of stabilizing the department. We had to go through a reorganization, look at the structure. The structure for the department has been finalized now. And we are at the stage where we are actually doing placements. And very shortly, we should be in a position to look at the question of the CFO and the DG. We know that it has taken longer than expected. And we agree with you, Your Excellency, that we should give some timelines. But on the very same vein, leadership, we must commend those men and women in the department who continue to work hard, even during this time of stabilizing the department and people were acting. The department, over a long period of time, was able to achieve on its annual report, unqualified audit opinion for both accounts. As you'll recall, the previous audit, it was not a good audit, but there's been an improvement. And we continue to strive to improve so that there is no regression. Well, at a particular point, we'll have to find time where there were issues of malfeasance and issues of that have to deal with disciplinary issues and investigations. We are working with the relevant entities, whether it's the SIU, with the relevant enforcement authorities, but also internally, there is a team working with the ministry to be able to conclude all the outstanding matters, because there are a number of outstanding matters, but other matters the department has acted on, like we actually made that particular commitment. We'll be able to share that information with the Select Committee from time to time about our performance in that regard. Your Excellencies, we do agree, Chair, that there are a number of communities that continue to don't have water. The statistics around access to infrastructure, Chair, is actually different from the statistics with really access to water for households. The infrastructure, we've done well over the last 27 years, we've rolled out to many communities, but we must admit there is a regression. A number of municipalities are not in good position. One of the things that has happened, the population has grown, and our infrastructure development has not been able to be commensurate or directly proportional with the population growth. Other big areas and big cities, Chair, they continue to have the biggest migration, both inward and from outside. And even the well-developed infrastructure, like in Gauteng, like in the Western Cape, in KwaZulu-Natal, all the big metros. And you can find that their systems, like their wastewater treatment works, like Honorable Fisher and others were saying, they've actually unable to cope, even here in Swane, where I am right now. And we're doing whatever it takes to help municipalities to actually recover the lost ground. That's why His Excellency, our President, has indicated that as part of the economic reconstruction and recovery plan, infrastructure or network industries will be at the center of the work we do. We have been failed, Chair, because one of the challenges in South Africa We've been continuously driving the best car like a Ferrari by driving on a gravel road. The infrastructure that we had in good condition has never been in a position to be properly operated and maintained. One, because of lack of skills, but secondly, because of the lack of financial provision. That's why in our discussion with Coctor Treasury, we are actually insisting more that more money must be put for CAPEX and OPEX. And actually for OPEX, we are actually lagging behind because the minimum threshold of 5% we put some time back has never been respected by many municipalities, not only on water. You could even look at roads. You could look also at the power generation or electricity. It is one of the fundamental problems we are doing to say, let's try to actually revamp that. That's why our little contribution using the Water Services Improvement Grant, we are trying to improve those water infrastructure issues. But at the very same time, there are too many incomplete projects, very many incomplete projects, unacceptable. There will be many reasons why projects are incomplete. One, some projects were done without the full funding over that particular period, and some of them because of issues of corruption. But some of these projects were also affected due to delays because of community issues. The very same example, Chair, you speak about of Matibeng. We owe a big apology to that community. It's very unacceptable that it has taken us long. But we wanted to be able to actually indicate, Chair, that these issues, we take them to heart. We should be able to proceed with them. I will then hand over to Deborah and the team to respond to some of the specific issues there. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Deborah.
Thank you, Chair. Let me see whether you are now will now be able to see the face. Yes, Chair, over and above what our DM has indicated. So I want to say that indeed we are working hard in the department to change the situation and to change even the perception. And it is not all of us that are found wanting, whether in capacity or in wastage of resources, not all of us. It's unfortunate that it's going to take us a very long time to change the perception about the department out there, but we're working hard. We do know that change takes time, and therefore we remain encouraged to continue to do that. Chair and honorable members, even during COVID, most of us in the department don't know what is called a lockdown. We were out there on various functions that to ensure that those that are least advantaged, those that don't have water, are catered for during COVID for them to be able to withstand this ravaging epidemic. We were out there with the delivery of tanks, having to see to the hoisting of those tanks, having to see to them being filled with water, so that when the taps are open, their communities could get. We were out there. And so I also want to mention that even during the outcome 9, before COVID, we were working on this with COCTA, and we made sure that we reduced the number and the statistics of those that didn't have water. Unfortunately, that is dealt a terrible blow by what DM has already indicated. Operation and maintenance that is supposed to be done at local level doesn't happen, and therefore reducing even the reliability of supply of water there. So all I'm trying to say, Chair, is that we're not resting. There is no rest in this department for most of us. I also want to mention, Chair, I don't know whether maybe it was mentioned and I missed it somewhere, that through our hard work, just to indicate, Chair, that we really are working hard to change the situation, we obtained an unqualified audit opinion for both the department and the WTE. Chair, that's hard work. We also have a financial recovery plan And it is in that financial recovery plan, Chair, that we are reducing. We are reducing the accruals. And the unfortunate part is that when you deal with a historic problem, it's sometimes very difficult to deal with it at once, and to, especially with the type of projects that we run that are most of which are multi-year. Yes, a mistake was done in the past, where in order to please a number of communities, we would sort of sparsely share a small cake. And projects were started that could not be completed, and so forth and so forth. But Chair, there is something that is receiving attention, and we are working on it, and we will continue to see ways by which we can improve on that, and so that we can, that can be something of the past. When it comes to pollution is dealt with in various ways. Do we deal with pollution or water quality? Rather, let me talk about water quality. We have water resources, water quality, and water services, water quality, and both are in very much interrelated. Because when the resource is polluted, it becomes more expensive to treat for you to be able to have water services. But then during the water services, if things don't happen correctly there, they tend to impact on the resource. For example, when we issue a license for a wastewater treatment plant, what we normally call sewage plants, they are to comply with certain standards. And most of the wastewater treatment plants of municipalities don't comply, which means that they put into the resource water that is not according to standard, and water that pollutes the resource, kills the ecosystem in the resource, and also kills the economic viability of the place, because you find our dams filled with algae, and the water spots cannot happen as a result of that. So it's a lie. But what we are doing as a department is that with the water resources, the regulatory branch there that we have issues compliance directives, non-compliance directives to whoever is a transgressor, whether it be a municipality or whether it be a private entity. With a private entity, at least there's some mileage there, because they know we can take them to court without any lengthy process. With a government entity, it becomes very problematic, because now the IGR has to come in, and then we also have to intervene, and so forth and so forth. It's not easy. But we do take them to court eventually. The blue drop and the green drop, we are in the process of resuscitating. And in resuscitating them, Chair, it doesn't mean that because we haven't issued a booklet that we used to do in the past called a blue drop and the green drop report, it means that nothing is done. It doesn't mean that. We are doing work around that. And that is why I'm saying that we do issue directives. It is on the basis of the work that we do that we can issue those directives. I think I'm going to give to Thoko Sigwasa, Ms. Thoko Sigwasa, to explain the other augmentation that we do in how we are embellishing the regulation branch for them to be able to do more than they are doing now. So she will explain that to the honorable members. With regards to some specifics, as the JB Max, Mr. Leonardo Manas is here. He will give a bit of explanation of what we are doing there. The Madibeng, I'm not sure whether any of us has the details around what is happening in Madibeng, but as far as I remember, we have been intervening in Madibeng for years now. We will have to have a look at the specifics of what is happening now so that we don't give generic responses. We are sure of what we are saying. But Mr. Manas, Mr. Manas is the DDG in infrastructure, so he should be able to say something there. We also have the regional head. I don't know whether Mr. Cedric Lubakeng managed to join, or whether there's somebody from Northwest here that can be able to say something around my debate. The specifics, that is. Mr. Manas will also be able to update us on the roof mumpatis, the treatment plant, why it is not completed and what is happening around it. So Mr. Manas is going to address Davy Max, Madibeng, Ruth Mumpati. And Ms. Sigwasa is going to be addressing what we are doing to strengthen the regulation function. Then we have Ms. Mohapi, who will be the project manager for War on Leaks. She will address the War on Leaks matter and be able to assist us, to assist the committee on what is happening around the War on Leaks. And I think with the report that she's going to give, honorable members will have interest in assisting the department in as far as that is concerned, because there are various efforts that we put in place and we are battling to get the necessary, and I'm using the word necessary there deliberately, support from local government and from SALGA. On Ms. Sigwasa will also add a little bit on what the water boards are doing in assisting municipalities. Yes, on the use of consultants, overutilization of consultants, I think the budget would increase because, as we know, everything that we do or anything that we do, even privately, that the escalation of costs. But I can assure honorable members that the department has done a lot in reduction on the utilization of consultants. We have reduced it a lot on our own as a department. And also as a result of the National Treasury rules, I don't know why the word is escaping my mind, but all that has to do is reduce your expenditure. Cost containment measures, yes, from National Treasury. So we have done that, honorable members. I don't know whether the CFO will be able to indicate as to where we were and how far we are now, but that also is part of our financial recovery plan. The travel budget, I'm not sure as to why it is seen as having traveled. But I also need to indicate that water infrastructure is not necessarily around the corners of our offices and residential areas. So we do have, honorable members, a need to travel to water resources, either for operation and maintenance or for regulation functions. And for the regulation function as well, as you know, rivers are not here, not next to our offices. Wastewater treatment plants are situated far out in the farm plan area. So there will be such a need for travel, except where the personnel are stationed at those water resources areas. And we also have a surveyor who also have to travel to our dams, because they need to do survey work there, and they also assist with the movement of dams. As you know, that with infrastructure, sometimes there is that movement, and with that movement comes the need for operation and maintenance of our dams. And the dam safety office tends to need that information for them to do their work as well, to come to a conclusion of whether the dam is still stable or not stable, or whether something needs to be done. So that's that. We are a service delivery department, and service delivery happens out there in most instances, honorable members. What else is there that perhaps we need to? Okay, the issue on the high bills, I don't think we are the right department to respond to the high bills unless it is about the high bills on the water resources. But the high bills, from the way I understood the honorable member, honorable Teto, it is the high bills that are given to individuals, households, that is in the purview of local government or the municipalities. So I think I have addressed everything and allocated all that needs to be allocated to the team in the department. I'm going to start with Mr. Manas, followed by Ms. Mohapi, and then by Ms. Tokosi Gwasa. And then where there's a need, we will ask the region to augment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Good afternoon. I will just quickly go into the space. I know that the Deputy Minister has already covered Madibeng, and the Acting DG also covered a portion of it. The only thing I want to add in the Madibeng area, as far as our IA implementing agent is concerned, Mahalis, that they are busy with the advert of two components that is important to this project, which is the professional service provider as well as the subcontractors, to ensure that the work can go forward. There was a meeting today. I am awaiting the report backs of that meeting. We're also aware that a visit by our Minister Lethu Hendricks is imminent to this site, and that is the level of concern that is around it. We also know that the Deputy Minister has also been visiting that site. So we are aware of the unacceptable delays that we have in that area, and hence the concerted effort to ensure that that procurement of those two components are being fast-tracked as fast as possible. We are aware of some of the phases that are completed also in the Costa area, but we are taking notice of the fact that the operations and maintenance of the municipality need to be jacked up significantly so. In the JP Marks area, even though the projects that we have in that municipality is quite well on track, we have recently take note of the fact that there is some sewer, old sewer clay pipes in the area, which is now also causing quite discomfort to the communities in that area. And the department is investigating as far as that is concerned in terms of how some of the grant funding projects that we have can be accommodated, especially through the Water Services Infrastructure Grant, how we can actually make funds available to assist the municipality in that space, because we understand the significance of the discomfort that is being experienced. In the terms of the Dr. Ruth area, our internal construction unit is the contractor in that space. There we have two separate projects in that space, and one would be the Taumna Leri pipeline, which is basically 98% completed. There was a delay in terms of doing the last works, especially in terms of the testing of the pipes, because we understand that even though a project can be as far as advanced as 98%, especially if it's a pipeline project, we don't confidently report 98% completion until such time that the pipeline has been tested, pressure tested, to understand which other work needs to be done to ensure that all leakages are fixed. And that is what the construction unit at this point in time is concerning themselves with, to ensure that the pressure testing is being done and completed. But what has actually been the course of delay was also partly due to the confirmation of the budget by the district municipality to this internal contract, noting that this is a Schedule B5B project, which means that the funding is being administered through the municipality itself. This slow movement of the project is now being dealt with since the budget has been confirmed, and construction is now starting to move at pace to ensure that the necessary resources are found from elsewhere as well to complete the last part of this project, which would be a quick win in terms of completion of a major project if we can just do the last percentage work, especially the pressure part. What we found unacceptable, Honorable Chair, was the work at Bloemhof, where a 200 meter work had to be completed. We have addressed that with our construction unit itself. And noting the, but they have explained that noting the terrain conditions, they had to go labor intensive and couldn't get machines in there. But this is currently being being taken care of, and we've also given instruction that plant and labor should be sourced from elsewhere to assist with the fast tracking of this last component as well. Honorable Chair, I think that was the portions that I had to give input into. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. The next one. Quickly, please.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Deputy Minister, Acting DG colleagues, and the Honorable Members. Mine is to brief...
DG Mushoti, who's following?
Ms. Mohapi, is this a speaking chair on World League?
Yeah, but we don't hear that person who's speaking.
Oh, Mr. Hart, you can see your voice.
Come closer to the mic. I'll try to come closer to the mic. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
That's better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I am going to brief the meeting on the war on leaks. The own leaks have covered a lot of ground. We have produced about 1,865 artisans. There are still some who have not completed, who are delayed due to the close down of some of our the colleges due to the the COVID-19 pandemic that we've been going through. And there is a slow finishing off, because now the numbers have to be limited of those learners as they try to do their trade test, because what they are doing is more or less physical work, and they cannot do it or finalize anything virtually. We also have the water agents who have completed that 4,671. Now I just want to brief the committee on where we are, other than the training. We have had engagements with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure in terms of the water agents, and they are willing to take them up under one of their projects that is called the Catchment Urban Program that they want to implement via the district development models in the various provinces. They will be doing various work like leak identification, assisting the municipalities in meter readings and various other work that they could do under the EPWP. Now, in terms of the artisans, we have covered a lot of ground. We have been in discussions with NEDLEC, and the business is interested in taking up some of those learners. They've been working in partnership with us as a department to clean the database, because these youngsters keep on changing their contact details every now and then, making it very difficult for us to get hold of them some other times. And therefore, they want to put them under the database of Harambe so that they are visible for job opportunities. On the government side, there is a task team that has been formulated between the Department of Water and Sanitation, Department COPTA, MISA, and SALGA. That task team is looking into the deployment of the artisans into the various municipalities, whereby we have undertaken to assist at least with their salaries for the first 3 months, and the municipalities will consider the remaining months. What we have come to realize is that the structures within the municipalities as well are not accommodative. You find that they do not have enough vacancies or space to absorb these learners. So we have also roped in treasury to try and work around these budgetary challenges that we are having, so that we are able to make some significant impact. We continuously report on this matter in the joint min-max between the Department of between human settlements, water and sanitation, as well as COCTA. And such, we would be giving another feedback to that particular MINMEC next week, Friday, as we have another meeting scheduled for them. So there is quite a lot of ground that is being covered. With the assistance of SALGA, we have started having those difficult and discussions with the various municipalities province-wise. And we appreciate the assistance in this particular matter. In fact, I see my colleague, Mr. Muraka, was locked onto the meeting. He can attest to that. And that is the kind of ground that we have covered, honorable members. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Any other input, if there is any? Acting DG, I'm guided by you. Any input?
Chair, Ms. Sigwasa was to indicate what we are doing to embellish regulation. Ms. Sigwasa?
Okay, yes.
Ms. Sigwasa?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Good afternoon. I'm going to respond, Honorable Chair, to your the issues that you raised and also the issues raised by Honorable Fessel in terms of how are we strengthening regulation and enforcement and compliance and enforcement in this sector. Chair, we have improved governance of all institutions in the sector and also the oversight of the institutions. We have strengthened the board appointment processes. We have introduced transparency in the way that the boards are appointed. And also the issue of tabling of the annual reports and quarterly reports to the minister. We have also dealt with the issues around transparency in the preparation of tariffs. We have ensured that the tariffs are cost effective, cost reflective. And Chairperson, we are working towards the establishment of an economic regulator in the sector that is going to oversee the issue of both raw and water services component of regulation. The issue of water use license, Chair, it's an issue that we are currently busy with. We have streamlined the way that the water use licenses are going to be issued, and we are now complying with the new time frame from 300 days to 60 days as promulgated by the president. We are building capacity at a local level using the catchment management agencies and also our regions. We have added about 50 contract staff workers that are going to support the process at a local level so that it is easy to access assistance when people apply for licenses. We are also stringent on the conditions now of water use licenses that have been issued. We are currently monitoring that with our regions and catchment management agencies. Chairperson, we are finalizing the pricing strategy that is going to oversee and outline how water is going to be priced for the entire water value chain, and including for the municipalities as well, and for the agricultural sector. There are key changes and the reforms that are coming, and also the CMAs are being established. The minister has approved that we go ahead with mainly starting at the Western Cape, where we are building a single CMA that will cover the entire area. We have also built about 50 professional workers, environmental management inspectors that are going to monitor the compliance and pollution, and also ensuring that we have successful prosecution when we take the polluters to court. Chairperson, I think the issue of validation and verification in order to ensure that we know how much water is utilized and who is using them, whether it is legal. That process has been also is progressing, and Acting DG has just approved that we focus on the Olifants water management area. And where the CMAs are operating, they have also started the process of doing the wall-to-wall validation and verification of water use. Thank you, Chair. I think I have covered the issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Tokomagwaza, for the briefing. Any other one before I give over to the Deputy Minister to round up?
I think we have covered everything, Chair.
Yes, I can see that, but I wanted to ascertain that. With that in mind, yeah. Deputy Minister, over to you, your last word before I wrap up. Deputy Minister Masawa, if the Deputy Minister is not there, my last word, let me just say that, as I indicated, what we are going to do from now is that, based on your annual performance plan that you presented here, we are going to look at our program of Parliament for the year as well, incorporate all the key areas of work that you have raised with us, ensure that as we interact throughout the year, we interact with you specifically with regard to to all the issues that you raised, especially problematic issues pertaining to the department. We would like to ensure that the department succeeds in the implementation of each performance plan and the budget as well. We don't want rollovers. We don't want under expenditure on the basis of the budget that would have been allocated. We don't want over expenditure that creates unnecessary financial burden to the department. We think that you need to stick to your budget. In case that you need to do environment, you can do that at the appropriate time when a midterm expenditure framework is done by the Minister of Finance. But other than that, as soon as we adopt your appropriation in Parliament in the next week or two, we should be able to give you a green light to spend your budget, but hold you accountable in terms of your activities as a department. For now, I hope that I'm representing the entirety of the committee when I'm saying that we heartily thank you for presenting to us. We thank you for sharing with us your plans for the year. It makes sense. We do understand within the limitations of COVID-19 and within the constraints of your budget, you should be able to implement what you said. And as I indicated, as a committee, we are going to strengthen our oversight and make sure that we hold you accountable in terms of the work that you can do. With that, let me once more thank all of you, the Deputy Minister, the senior officers in the department, for sharing with us the information as pertaining to the annual performance plan as well as the budget for the department. Equally, take this opportunity to thank all members of Parliament for attending this meeting and engaging with you. As I said, we now understand more and better the work of the department in that sense. With regard to that, can we adjourn the meeting? We should be able to meet sometime next week as a committee to look at this report that you presented before us with a view of deciding to adopt it or not. And if we do so, we take it to Parliament. The last item on the agenda would be the consideration for the adoption of the budget. Moss, can we fight the budget?
We can leave, Chen.
Yes, you can leave. I wanted you to have the last word, but you couldn't.
We want to thank you very much, leadership, and for all the support and guidance. The team led by the minister and myself, we are ready to try to work with our partners and make the situation much better for the citizens, because they don't deserve less leadership. But once again, we take the issues as guided, and we'll be continuously reporting to you from time to time. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. You may leave. I will. Members of Parliament will stay behind, because we are not considered that close.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Is that honourable, Inagumtoto?
Yes, I also saw the hand of the minister as well there.
Oh, the minister is here. Good afternoon, Minister Sisulu. Before you leave, Minister Sisulu, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chairperson.
How are you, Minister?
I am surviving. My hand has been up.
I apologize for that. I didn't see
when it got tired, it went down.
Yeah, we noted the budget. We had a good discussion. We noted your apology as well, because of other pressing urgent matters. We had to be excused, but we are happy that you are back. And I'm going to request that we all stay online, because you are here. You may want to express a word or two to us. We will gladly appreciate that. And sorry, I apologize that I didn't note your hand. I would have, you know that I would have long ensured that you have a word to us. And we are grateful that you are here and you are able to attend this meeting, albeit late. Over to you. You can then express a word or two to us, Honourable Minister.
Yes, I put up my hand at the point at which the acting DG was speaking, because I thought that she was being very modest. Actually, I'm very proud of the strides that have been made in the last nine months in water. We've found our foot. She has been a very good hand at the steering wheel. We have realigned the department. We have now restructured it, and we will bring the new structure to yourselves. So we are, and our audit outcomes are looking very good. It is the first time in many years that most of our boards are getting unqualified audit outcomes. We will be bringing these matters to you, just so that you understand that the work that you do in monitoring us is bearing fruit. And to you in particular, Comrade Chair, thank you very much for spending most of your Saturdays making sure that our boards have the right kind of caliber of persons, because if we don't have the right caliber of persons in our boards, then we have a lot of problems. We have had problems with the culture and perception that people have about boards, but we are hoping to change that. Next time you see us, we will be straight A grade students having graduated. Thank you to you for the support. Thank you to the committee as well. You know, every time we come to the NCOP, we feel like we come to people who say, how can we help you? We're here to help you, as opposed to other places where we feel like we're being seen as the enemy. Thank you for the environment that you provide us to come and report. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you very much, Honourable Minister. In the beginning, I expressed that. I expressed the view that in the last 2 years in this department, we have seen turnaround, a lot of things improving, and you'll be shocked that this was a department that was enshrouded with negativity and all these sorts of things. And thank you very much. And I would like you to brag a bit, to shine about these things and talk about them and say, we found this situation and this is where we are. We're moving towards the audit. We have an unqualified report. We're sorting out accruals. We're sorting out contingency liabilities. We're sorting out all of these issues. We are stabilizing it. And this is what we need to talk about, because once we have that situation, we are then geared up to ensure that we provide water, which is life. and sanitation, which is dignity. On that note, thank you very much for providing leadership together with your team and your deputy ministers. We actually thank you for that. As I said, you are excused. I'm left with my committee. We are now considering the report. Next week, we'll be considering this report that we received here this afternoon for purposes of presenting it to Parliament. Yes, thank you very much. The component of water and sanitation is released. I will be left with my committee to look at the budget. Honorable members, we present before you a report of the Select Committee on Cooperative Governance, Traditional Affairs, Water, Sanitation and Human Settlements, based on the annual report performance plan and the budget allocation for the Department of Cooperative Governance, Traditional Affairs, as well as MISA, our Municipal Infrastructure Support Agent. As you are aware, we received these reports on Tuesday, where presentations were made. In relation to the introduction, it's quite clear. I want you to go straight to the observations and recommendations, if you can. I hope that members had the possibility to go through the report itself. And in the process, you will guide me if you want to raise any specific issue. Wait at the observations. These are the observations in respect of cooperative. No, go down, start from eight, because that is where I want to start. These are the observations of the Select Committee that we observe that the 2023-2024 for compensation of employees under administration program has declined. However, the Select Committee welcomes the inclusion of gender-based violence in the DBMM framework, while welcoming the 2021 and 22 annual performance plan of the department. The Select Committee raised concerns about the aging and maintenance of infrastructure and the failure of some municipalities to use their MIG funds. That we note, as a Select Committee, the departmental target to table the monitoring and evaluation bid. However, the Select Committee raised concern about the department's delays in terms of tabling the bid itself, which in its absence, there are no guidelines to invoke Section 139 as well as Section 100. I want us to add Section 100 of the Constitution in the municipalities across the province, as well as we must add in terms of, as well as the provincial government, because Section 100 is applicable to the provincial government, and this bill includes both Section 100 and Section 139 interventions. That the general concern raised by the committee, which affects some municipalities, include lack of consequence management, non-functionality of the municipal public accounts committees, non-performance of the participants of the CWP, lack of absorption and exit strategy, as well as slow progress on corruption cases in the municipalities. I suggest that we add provinces in 8.4. With all that in mind, we place the following recommendations for consideration: that the department should fast track the tabling of the monitoring and intervention bill so as to provide guidelines and norms on the invocation of Section 100 and Section 139 in the municipalities and provinces, as well as norms and standards for the administrators to be established. The DTI should provide quarterly progress reports on the implementation and achievement of annual targets as contained in the departmental 2021 and 2022 annual performance plan and budget allocation. That the select committee to align its quarterly programs in line with the annual targets of the Department of Corporate Governance in order to ensure monitoring and exercise and executive accountability and parliamentary oversight on the implementation of the 2021 and 2022 annual performance plans. In respect of the traditional affairs, let's go quick. Okay, can we move for the mover for the adoption of this report as it pertains to corporate governance?
I move, Chair.
Mama
Honorable
Butler moves.
Yes.
Elisa Gonda. Elisa Gonda. Are you saying there is no seconder here?
There is, Chair, in a
Baba Ina Pinketo seconds. Thank you very much. Any opposition? Any opposition? No. Okay, thank you.
Chair?
Yes.
Can you note the abstaining of the DA?
You abstaining from the adoption of the report of the committee.
Yes, sir.
Is that what you are saying? Okay. Okay.
Yes, sorry, I had a problem with my laptop for a moment. It's cutting to the speaking, we abstain. Thank you.
Honorable Karen Fisher will also abstain. Okay, it's fine. Let's go to the next one that deals with traditional affairs. Let's go to the recommendations. Let's leave the observations. Recommendations are very key. Stop at 14, there are only two observations. I'll read them very quickly. The select committee has noted, stop at 14. Quickly, there are only two. The select committee has noted and welcomed the Department of Traditional Affairs that it will monitor the implementation of 8 provinces of the Section 24 of the TKLA. This intervention is meant to encourage traditional councils to enter into partnership agreements with government and other partners for socio-economic development of traditional communities, that while welcoming the 2021-22 annual performance plan of the DTA, the select committee emphasized the importance of education and awareness campaign on the object of the Customary Initiation Act. It's now the act. Sorry, the president has not signed it. It's still a bill, sorry. On the object of the Customary Initiation Bill in the commitment in the communities in order to deal with illegal schools and mitigation of deaths of the initiates. Let's go to the recommendations, please. The Department of Traditional Affairs should ensure that once the Customary Initiation Bill has been signed by the President, the content of the act should be published and packaged into national campaigns so as to raise education and awareness within the communities. That the select committee to align its quarterly programs in line with annual targets of the department in order to ensure monitoring, executive accountability, and parliamentary oversight on the implementation of the 2021-22 annual performance plan. And lastly, that the department should provide quarterly progress reports on the implementation and achievements of the annual targets as contained in the departmental 2021-22 annual performance plan and budget allocation. Any mover for the adoption of the report? Any mover for the adoption of the report? You are
Chair,
all very quiet. Who's that?
I move again. Honorable Butler,
you are moving for the adoption. Any
yes.
seconder? Oh, Honorable Mtetwa, you second. Thank you very much. Any opposition or any abstention to be recorded?
Honorable Sidiego, abstain, Chair.
Abstain, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Sidiego abstains, and Honorable Karen Fisher, both of the DA abstains. It's okay. Let's move to the last one. The MISA, the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agent. Go to the observations and the recommendations. We make one key observation in terms of MISA, that the Select Committee welcomed the 2021-22 Annual Performance Plan of the Municipal Support Infrastructure Agent. However, the Select Committee noted that the presentation didn't provide a breakdown per province of the municipalities and districts that are technically supported by MISA. And in terms of the recommendations, that MISA to provide the Select Committee with the provincial breakdown of the list of all the municipalities and districts that are technically supported, including progress and challenges thereof. On the bursaries in technical qualifications that MISA is providing, they should provide information to the Select Committee on the criteria and processes they follow. Further, provide a report on how many students have been assisted in the past financial year and whether those students who have successfully completed the program have been employed or not. The Select Committee to align its quarterly programs in line with annual targets of MISA in order to ensure monitoring, executive accountability, and parliamentary oversight on the implementation of the 2021 and 22 annual performance plan. And lastly, MISA should provide quarterly progress reports on the implementation and achievements of annual targets as contained in departmental 2021 and 22 annual performance plan and budget allocation. The report is considered. Any mover for the adoption of the report? Any mover for the adoption of the report? Are we not adopting this report?
I move, Chair.
You move, Honorable Inokumchatwa. Any seconder for the adoption?
I second, Chair.
Honorable Bartlett, you second. Okay, thank you very much. Any objection to the report?
Abstain. Chair, the DA abstains.
Honorable Karim Fisher, you abstain. Yes. Okay.
Honorable Siliego as well, Chair.
You are also abstaining.
In general,
sir. Yes, it's okay. It's fine. All right. Having said that, there is no objection to the report. It's only abstentions from the DA that we are noting. And with regard to that, the three reports are adopted by this committee. That is a report on cooperative governance, a report on traditional affairs department, as well as the report on MISA, the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agent. With that, it brings us to the end of this meeting, honorable members. We will present the report accordingly to Parliament in terms of our work. And thank you very much for attending this meeting. Have a nice weekend, and let's meet again on Tuesday. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.